Voice of America in the World. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, the 26th of April, and Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com will be with me at 8 o'clock this morning for the last 2 hours of the show. That should be a very, very interesting encounter with this young man. I was taking a look at his website in the last couple of days, and as I understand it, he is quite a fellow in regard to really analyzing the news events of the day. It would make for an interesting discussion when he comes on at 8 o'clock this morning to contrast some of his ideas with yesterday's guest, who was Michael Cutler. Michael Cutler had a lot of good things, I think, to say about immigration. I disagree with Michael Cutler, however, about the 9/11 circumstance and what was behind it. That might be one of the things that we could chat about today with Michael Rivero in regard to sorting out areas of agreement and disagreement between ourselves and the so-called freedom and truth movement and those who are with us on some items but not on others. Now, a lot of interesting pieces in the news today. Ron Paul, will he be the candidate of the Christian right? This is a piece by Lawrence M. Vance today at lourockwell.com. I think this is absolute must reading for those of you who are considering supporting Ron Paul for the presidency, those of you who do vote in elections. He certainly would be my choice, and frankly, the only choice that I see out there among any of the folks who are talking about running for the presidency of the United States on either the Republican or Democratic tickets. Lawrence Vance then goes on to say that in the typical presidential election, conservative Christians who have some understanding of the benefits of liberty and limited government and don't blindly follow the Republican Party do one of three things. They don't vote, they waste their vote on a third party, quote unquote, or else they hold their nose, close their eyes, stop their ears, and fight a gag reflex as they vote for the Republican candidate because they consider him to be the lesser of two evils. But most of these Christians have short memories, for when the lesser evil turns out to be just as evil as the greater evil, or sometimes even worse, they generally repeat the process all over again. The newest individual to announce that he is seeking the Republican nomination for president is Ron Paul. He formally declared his candidacy for the Republican presidential nomination on March 12, 2007, when he appeared as a guest on C-SPAN. Ron Paul is a veteran. He is a physician. He currently represents the 14th District in Texas, south of Houston, in the U.S. House of Representatives, a seat which he has held since 1997. He previously represented Texas's 22nd District in 1976 and again from 1979 to 1985. Dr. Paul was the Libertarian Party nominee for president in 1988. He is the former national chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus. He consistently scores a perfect 100 on the New American Magazine's Conservative Index. He has received many awards and honors during his career in Congress from organizations such as the National Taxpayers Union, Citizens Against Government Waste, Council for a Competitive Economy, and Young Americans for Freedom. But will he be the candidate of the religious, of the Christian right? By the Christian right's own criteria, their candidate ought to be Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a man of faith. He is a Protestant Christian and a regular churchgoer. Ron Paul is pro-life. As a specialist in obstetrics gynecology, he has delivered more than 4,000 babies. Dr. Paul is not just an opponent of partial birth abortion, he is an opponent of abortion itself. He is also opposed to federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Ron Paul is a believer in family values. Unlike many Christian leaders, quote-unquote, and Republican politicians who have admitted to adulterous affairs and or been married multiple times, Dr. Paul has been married to the same woman for 50 years. He and his wife have been blessed with 5 children and 17 grandchildren. Ron Paul is opposed to same-sex marriage. Although he doesn't want to strip homosexuals of their civil rights, he has voted to prohibit federal funding for the joint adoption of a child between individuals who are not related by blood or marriage. We'll be back to look at Lawrence Vance's article on lourockwell.com today. Will Ron Paul be the candidate of the religious Christian right? Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RPN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com will be with me at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. I hope to talk to Michael about all kinds of things, everything from 9/11 and the Israeli lobby to taxes to presidential politics to anything else we might think of in the two-hour time frame that we're going to be with him. One of the things that interests me that I'm really desirous of looking into on a greater basis is the information that is coming out in regard to some renewed attempts on the part of the Food and Drug Administration to regulate vitamins and supplements virtually out of existence. There was a very fine post at News with Views yesterday that was talking about this in the context of the larger issue of a North American Union. I hope to have some of the people on this show who know something about the federal government's regulation of the health industry, and who knows something about the federal government's regulation of other sectors of the economy as well. And this is something that we're going to have to be watching in the days ahead, because Big Brother keeps engaging in increasingly Leviathan control over you and me. And it really shouldn't be surprising that the central government, which has involved us in this disastrous state of affairs in Iraq, is the same central government that is taking away your freedoms and mine on an ongoing basis, and these recent reports about the Food and Drug Administration and their attempts to regulate the supplements industry virtually out of business is something that we really need to be watching. Quite clearly, there is an alliance here between the central government and certain corporate interests that want to destroy other legitimate competing economic interests and to replace it with their own. This is really the classic textbook definition, I think, of fascism, when you have central government being linked to corporate political and economic interests in a way which results in monopolies and oligarchies. We've seen it happening in other places in the world. It's certainly happening in the United States. And to the extent that some might find that hard to believe, I would simply suggest a perusal of the Federal Election Commission website. I don't know if you've ever done that before or not, and this is something of a diversion from the Ron Paul article that we'll get back to in a minute. But I remember when I was running for the United States Senate in 2000 in Delaware, running against Tom Carper and William Roth. I got into that race at the behest of Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus, who needed a Constitution Party candidate in Delaware, and Howard tapped me for that purpose and that assignment. It was very, very interesting as I was going through that process to really look at the way in which American elections are controlled. Controlled by corporate interests in regard to the money that goes into elections, controlled by corporate interests in terms of a corporate news media that promotes the very candidates that large corporate interests want to have promoted, which basically boils down, of course, in most cases to the two major party candidates. But take a look at the Federal Election Commission lists sometime. The next time you're analyzing your own congressional race in your own congressional district, or you're looking at a U.S. Senate race in your state, or you're glancing at a presidential election, follow the trail of the money. It's a very fascinating and frightening trail to follow, because we begin to discover that there are powerful forces, globalist forces, multinational corporate forces that basically tell the tale of the tape in regard to the American electoral process. Proof positive of this, of course, is the present state of affairs as it involves the North American Union, and presumably as it involves this truckers' protest that we've been talking about in recent days on this show. Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piatti, it seems to me, are among those who are fighting a brand of multinational corporate interest, which basically wants to take over the world economy and is having a very, very successful run at it, by the way, in doing so. And in so doing, it is also stripping individual societies of strong families, strong communities, strong local communities, and strong local economies. All of those things have to go by the wayside in order that a globalist agenda might take hold. So whether you're looking at the economy and this truckers' protest and what is happening with Mr. Bush and his minions getting ready to allow these Mexican truckers to cross the border into the United States with trucks and drivers who could not possibly meet American standards, we see the way in which this will affect the livelihoods of our truckers. It will threaten our lives on these federal interstates. It will be a situation that will continue to facilitate the distribution of Chinese and Asian products throughout the United States in a fashion that will continue destroying our manufacturing sector of our economy and virtually turning the entire economy of the United States, with the exception of a few high-tech jobs, into a service-based economy in its entirety. If you like making $8.50 or $9 an hour with no benefits, if you like a situation where the jobs that you used to hold are going abroad or simply going out of existence generally, then you'll love the North American Union. And what is happening to the truckers today will happen to you and to me tomorrow. And this is quite clear that this is what's transpiring. And again, the deck seems to be quite stacked, because the corporate powers that be, the globalist powers that be, control elections. And the Federal Elections Commission contributor list is proof positive of that. And they also have the media in their back pocket and control ballot access in virtually every state in the country. That's another thing that I'd like to get into sometime in this show, and that's a discussion of ballot access. I had a brief email exchange the other day with Richard Winger of Ballot Access News out in San Francisco. Richard, I think, has been considered to be the leading expert in the country historically on the whole question of ballot access laws. That is going to be an entirely fascinating subject to look into sometime, particularly as we get closer to a presidential election year. I don't know how many ballots the Constitution Party will be on, or the Libertarian Party, or the Natural Law Party, or any of the other smaller groups who want access to the American political system. But suffice it to say that ballot access, in conjunction with media coverage and in conjunction with corporate money, represents one of the three strands, one of the three triumvirates that basically has shut out strong third-party and independent candidates for a very, very long time. When you look at the way the deck is stacked, it becomes increasingly apparent that all of us are fighting an uphill battle in regard to getting our voices heard with what is going on in Washington, D.C., and as that relates to what is going on with the United Nations in New York and all of the other globalist institutions that the federal government has moved us into in your lifetime and mine. Let's get back just to a minute, to this article by Lawrence Vance today at lewrockwell.com on Ron Paul. Will Ron Paul be the candidate of the religious right? I'm very tired. I've not slept tonight, folks. I'll share with you that my dog of 15 years standing had to be put to sleep this morning at 1:15 a.m. I was at an emergency pet clinic all night in San Antonio, so I'm a little punchy. So if I get a little tongue-tied, I hope that you will forgive me. But by the Christian right's own criteria, their candidate ought to be Ron Paul. And as Vance has indicated, Ron Paul is a man of faith. He's pro-life. He's a believer in family values. He's opposed to same-sex marriage. Ron Paul is a patriot. He served as a flight surgeon in the U.S. Air Force from 1963 to 1967. He opposes federal court jurisdiction over the question of whether the phrase "under God" should be included in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ron Paul is opposed to unrestricted immigration because he believes that true citizenship requires cultural connections and an allegiance to the United States. He favors an end to birthright citizenship, and because he believes that it insults legal immigrants, he does not favor amnesty for illegals in any form. He opposes welfare state subsidies for illegal immigrants that alienate taxpayers and breed suspicion of immigrants. Dr. Paul also believes that all federal government business should be conducted in English. Ron Paul is opposed to gun control. Not only does he believe that gun control makes people demonstrably less safe, he also thinks it's a myth that gun control reduces crime. Representative Paul introduced legislation in Congress that would have repealed waiting periods and instant background checks. Ron Paul is a strict constitutionalist. He never votes for legislation unless the proposed measure is expressly authorized by the Constitution. He has consistently voted to lower or abolish federal taxes, spending, and regulation. Congressman Paul was recently recognized for the 10th year in a row as a taxpayer's friend by the National Taxpayers Union. Ron Paul is opposed to the UN. He has introduced legislation to withdraw the United States from the UN. Dr. Paul believes that the UN is rife with corruption. It serves as a forum for rampant anti-Americanism. Instead of being reformed, the UN needs to be renounced. Dr. Paul is against any kind of world government or new world order. Ron Paul is the premier advocate for liberty in politics today. He believes in absolute religious and political liberty for all Americans. He strongly supports private property rights. He believes that government exists to protect the life, liberty, and property of its citizens. But even though he appears to live up to the usual criteria of the Christian right, the question still remains. Will Ron Paul be the candidate of the Christian right? As a Christian, Lawrence Vance says, "I admire Dr. Paul's principled stand on many issues, but I don't believe the leadership of the Christian right will embrace him. I think they love centralization more than federalism. I think they love political power more than liberty. I think they love war more than peace. I think they love politicians more than principles. I think they love faith-based socialism more than the free market. And I think they love the state more than God Almighty." That's an incredible piece today from Lawrence Vance at lewrockwell.com, and it is entitled, "Will Ron Paul Be the Candidate of the Christian Right?" Let's take a look at that last paragraph in that article, because I think it gets into a lot of issues that I frankly agree with Lawrence Vance on. It says a lot about the Christian right in America and the state of our whole spiritual and moral and cultural and political situation that is not good. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
I guess I'll know
When I get there. Broadcasting Network. We are joined today at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time by Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. Prior to that time, we've been looking at Lawrence Vance's piece today entitled, Will Ron Paul Be the Candidate of the Christian Right? You can find this at LouRockwell.com. He goes on to say, by the way, in what we've already looked at, that Ron Paul, ideologically, across the board, should be the candidate of the Christian right, among many other people. He's a man of faith. He's pro-life, believer in family values, a true believer in family values. He's opposed to same-sex marriage. He's a patriot. He's opposed to unrestricted immigration. He's opposed to gun control. He's a strict constitutionalist. He's opposed to the UN. He's the premier advocate for liberty in politics today. On all of those criteria, he should be the candidate of the Christian right. And yet Lawrence Vance says something that I think is absolutely insightful. He doesn't believe the leadership of the Christian right will embrace him. And then he states three or four or five reasons why. I want to take a look at each of these because I think he's exactly right. And what he's speaking of here goes a long way toward explaining why I have left the Republican Party. It explains why I have a lot of cynicism, not only as an American and as an ex-Republican, but as a Christian, when it comes to the so-called leaders of the Christian right. Lawrence Vance starts out by saying that they, the leadership of the Christian right, love centralization more than federalism. You know, I can't think of a better example of this than the Christian right's support of George W. Bush. Has there been a better example in our lifetime of a president who has destroyed the doctrine of federalism? We are looking here at a situation where the United States has more centralized government than ever before. George Bush has expanded the power of the federal government more than any president since Lyndon Johnson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I remember when Tom DiLorenzo of The Real Lincoln was on this show. He was talking about the fact that Mr. Bush has expanded the federal government by somewhere between 25% and 35% across the board. And that's not simply the Defense Department and the intelligence agencies in the wake of 9/11. It's all of the other aspects of the federal government as well. And in that regard, as we speak of those kinds of increases in size, as we talk about those kinds of increases in expenditures, we're also talking about borrowed money. This gets at the heart of something that George McGovern was talking about yesterday. I think that something must be going on in this country when I read an article by George McGovern talking about Dick Cheney, and I believe that George McGovern was correct in virtually everything that he said. Now, there were some things that he got into that I don't agree with in the article, but George McGovern had a lot to say that was directed at Dick Cheney and at the leadership of the Republican Party that I think is entirely on target. And when we get into the whole issue of George W. Bush, he has not only engaged in this incredible increase in the size of the federal government and the amount of spending that goes on at the federal level, but George W. Bush has been doing this with borrowed money. And this is what George McGovern was talking about yesterday in his op-ed piece on Dick Cheney. McGovern was pointing out the fact that whatever you think of McGovern's ideas about all of the different things that government should be involved in 1972, it was McGovern's vision that whatever the feds involved the rest of us in, that we were going to pay for that and pay for it on an as-you-go basis. Dick Cheney, on the other hand, and Mr. Bush have been involved in the last 5 or 6 years in creating more debt than has ever existed in the history of the United States. Don't believe me? Take a look at those account deficits. Take a look at the total national debt of this country. Take a look at the foreign trade deficit, just those three things alone, and it becomes abundantly clear that we are in serious trouble. Why does the Christian right support a political candidate and a political party that has been involved in increasing the power of the central state, that has been involved in increasing the scope of the amount of spending that goes on to support the central state, and has been doing so with borrowed money? Borrowed money. Why is that, folks? Maybe we ought to ask Mr. Dobson and Mr. Hagee and Mr. Falwell and Mr. Robertson why they would support such a thing. This is Mark Ankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Michael Rivera of WhatReallyHappened.com will join us at right around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to speak with me about all kinds of things going on politically, really going on. What is the deeper meaning behind some of these stories? What should we see as the powers that many times reside behind the major stories? I think if you look at WhatReallyHappened.com, you will find a young man there who has a lot to say on these issues. I also wanted to mention to my technician while we're on the air, of course, I'm on a different computer system this morning than I normally use in my studio. And in that particular regard, I have not yet been able to put the callers page up. So I'm going to have to ask my tech to prompt me if there's a call that has come in or something else of similar import that needs to be mentioned. We're going to have to use the old one for fastball, two for curve, three for changeup system today. All right, or Bill for Alaska. There is a Bill for Alaska on. Okay, well, let's bring him on. I suspect I may know who this is. Bill, this is Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mark. This is Bill Adams up in Alaska.
Yes, Bill, good to hear your voice. You're going to be a future guest on this show, Mark Glenn being the intermediary on that, and good to finally meet you online.
Well, it's my pleasure. I was still up doing some work on the computer here, and it's about 4:30 in Alaska, so I flipped your show on to catch it.
And, I have had quite a night, Bill. I had to put my 15-year-old long-haired dachshund to sleep this morning at 1:15 in the morning, and I have not been to bed and have not done the kind of usual reading that I do for 3 or 4 or 5 hours before I come on. So it's been kind of a wild wild situation with me, and if I seem a little punchy this morning, you'll have to forgive me, but go ahead.
Well, I can certainly sympathize with that. I'm sitting up here with a red-nosed pit bull under the table that, you know, he's the best dog I've ever owned. It'd just kill me if anything happened to him. So I can certainly understand where you're coming from. But I normally don't catch the beginning of your show because of the time difference. Like I said, it's about 4:30 in the morning up here, so that's normally a little bit early for me. But
yes.
But I heard you making a remark a minute ago about George McGovern on there, and I had to pick up the phone and call you. That's really scary, isn't it?
It really is scary. And, you know, McGovern said so many things in that piece that we as paleo-conservatives and America First people, to a point, need to affirm. Now, McGovern also said some things that were a reversion to some of his socialistic ideas where we would part company completely. But I think on the issue of the war that McGovern is right. I think McGovern has accurately pointed out that the Bush administration is an administration that has increased all levels of public debt in this country just off the charts.
Absolutely.
The other thing that McGovern said that I thought was quite fascinating, when Dick Cheney was, impugning McGovern recently for some of the things that the former senator has said on the Iraq War, which we as America Firsters agree with, McGovern went on to gently, I think, and gingerly remind the public that Mr. Cheney has no war record. Mr. Bush has no war record. Mr. McGovern, however, volunteered for the Army Air Corps at the age of 19, flew 35 combat missions, I believe, in B-24s, and was awarded with the Distinguished Flying Cross. So there's a real paradox, isn't it? The guy that we all thought in 1972 was an absolute pinko has come to the fore all these years later with some things that we would agree with. And frankly, as I have listened to McGovern in recent years, I have, in some respects, misjudged him. I think he's a decent man. I don't agree with his socialistic ideas on domestic policy. But I think some of what he talks about here is well taken. I also think that McGovern, as a human being, would get very high marks based upon the way that he and his wife dealt with the alcoholism of their late daughter some years ago. So it's, again, a strange thing when guys like you and me are looking at McGovern and saying, you know, we don't agree with this guy on some things, but by George, when we compare him to what's going on with Bush and Cheney, he doesn't look too bad.
I couldn't agree with you more. I started out as an anti-war, kid back in the 60s and 70s, and I thought George McGovern, you know, was the greatest thing since sliced bread at one time. But as I grew up, I eventually became a lot more conservative, and at one point after the Reagan era, had really become a conservative. You know, after I became a Christian, I became a conservative Republican.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, and you might get a chuckle out of this. I don't know if you got the email about Westminster Theological Seminary or not, but
yes, I sure did.
I used to be a Republican committeeman in 13th District, of Montgomery County, and I worked for John Fox down there in Glenside.
Oh, boy.
So that'll give you an idea of where I've come from.
Yes, well, all of us have some past political sins to atone for. And the thing that I think, seriously, Bill, when I was reading your email to me on this subject, I thought, you know, Isn't it fascinating? And I want the entire listenership of RBN to really perk up their ears at this point. If you're online and listening at 7:37 a.m. Central Time or whatever time it is in Alaska, 4:37 up there.
Yep.
that we all go through this odyssey, and when I think of what I used to believe politically, I'm almost embarrassed to admit to people some of the things that I used to believe with the best of intentions as someone who thought he was a conservative. I mean, I remember the days of,
Barry Goldwater conservative.
Yes. And, as you go through this whole process, there are a series of things that the Republican Party routinely put over on people like me. And I'm thinking back to all these things years later with all of what has happened since the days of Goldwater in 64.
Sure.
And here we are in 2007 with the mess that Bush and a Republican Congress have created. And I think, well, you know, by George, I've been wrong about a lot of things.
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking earlier, actually yesterday, I don't know if you've read, who is the guy that used to run Chrysler? Just wrote the book. I was thinking about McGovern, and I was thinking about Rosie. And the more I thought about it, I thought, geez, you know, the people that I find myself agreeing with these days, if someone had asked me, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, I'd have said, no way. You know, I mean, it's just insane the kinds of people that I find myself defending. And I thought, you know, the days of saying, well, I'm going to stay with my little group over here, and we all believe the same thing, and we're right, and everybody else is wrong. You know, as I get older, and I'm 62 years old now, and as I get older, I'm coming to the conclusion that I don't really care. You know, I don't have to agree with Rosie on her lifestyle. I don't have to like her. But when somebody has the courage to stand up and speak truth to power, you've got to stand up and back them up. I mean,
that's exactly right. And I have found myself, Bill, going through this same thing when all these years later, when I'm looking at antiwar.com and I see some of the things that Noam Chomsky and Ramsey Clark, just to name two, have posted there, I think, you know, something is happening when I'm reading these guys and on the subject of the Iraq War, am, say, in 99.5% agreement with them, as opposed to what is going on with the Bush and Cheney Republican administration. Something is happening, and I believe that as you examine this whole situation, if there are so many truisms that we could underscore this morning as we chat, but one of the things that needs to be absolutely emphasized is that we have to examine every issue, and we have to look at people who from time to time say things that we disagree with, but when they're right and when we believe them to be right sincerely, we need to say, hey, I'm not on board with them on A, B, and C, but I'm with them on X, Y, and Z, and do so unabashedly. And this whole thing with Rosie O'Donnell is well taken. I don't care for her. There are elements. I don't care for her lifestyle, to say the least. I am a Christian pastor. I certainly don't like her stand on guns. But on right. On certain subjects, when she has spoken out, where she agrees with me, I have to say, hey, you know, this is an example of where I have to come forth and say she's right on that issue.
Absolutely. And I probably, like you, recognize that this is part of a larger battle between good and evil. And I think that the opposition has been using the strategy of splitting us up into groups and divide and conquer. And we have to understand that. We have to look at it and say, hey, look, you know, wherever we can stand with somebody else that's speaking truth to power, that's standing up for what's right, we've got to do it. Because if we don't, they're going to constantly keep us fighting among ourselves, and we're going to wind up spending our whole lives looking for a group of people that believe everything we believe. And frankly, there just aren't that many people in the world that believe everything I believe.
Well, that's right, and probably even fewer who believe everything that I believe. But as you look at this whole thing, Bill, I think that this is entirely apropos. And one of the things that used to frustrate me with a lot of my friends on the right, who are still my friends, presumably, is that sometimes we have a level of ideological purity, which, however good in the abstract, has not served us well in regard to the implementation of a practical public policy platform and getting our ideas across in the news media and so forth and so on. And I was saying, for example, in 2004, when I was speaking to the state convention of the Constitution Party in Maryland, Michael Perutka had me come down to address them and to address Michael in regard to what I thought were the premier issues in 2004. I basically said to that convention, hey, look, there are about three things here that we have to emphasize that stem from constitutional principles in regard to the issues that we utilize for a national campaign, particularly as a third party. We have a real opportunity here, and the opportunity is presented to us by this war. The core issue is this war in the Middle East and the threat of a draft. Closely attached to that is the economic issue with illegal immigration and the globalist structures of the New World Order. And then thirdly, we don't have to be apologetic about being pro-life and being in favor of gun ownership and so forth. But in terms of framing a national campaign, let's really hit this issue of the war and the draft. Let's really hit the issue of illegal immigration and the economy and the New World Order. And, you know, I think that that's where, in some cases, we can, up to a point, build a coalition with some people on the left that we don't agree with and have serious disagreement with in some areas. But nonetheless, in terms of the bigger picture, the corporate globalist powers that be win when we divide ourselves in a way that keeps us from forming a broader political coalition to slug it out with these guys.
Absolutely. I don't know if I wrote to you or Mark Glenn, but I was telling him that, you know, of all the different articles that I write about different subjects, I know that there are some websites, liberal websites, Democratic websites, stuff like that, that will gladly reprint some of them, but not others, because it just, you know, it goes against the grain of what they believe in. And I understand that. But I also understand that there's an awful lot of people out there who, if we got together and on the things that we can agree on, would make a very effective force in stopping, you know, the kinds of genocide, you know, that's going on in Iraq, as well as in Palestine and Lebanon and other places like that. But as long as we let these people manipulate us into, you know, fighting and arguing and carrying on because everybody doesn't believe the same thing, you know, then it just dilutes our ability, you know, to bring these people to, you know, to accountability.
Well, that's exactly right. And I frankly believe, getting back into Lawrence Vance's piece about Ron Paul today and talking about the Christian right not being likely to embrace Ron Paul for all the wrong reasons, that when I look at some of these Christian right leaders, these guys seem to have an absolute penchant for taking peripheral issues and elevating those peripheral issues to front and center in the way that they milk support and money out of their constituencies. And when it comes to the real core issues of our time, in many instances, in my view, as a paleocon, these guys are nowhere to be found.
Absolutely. About the same time I got your email yesterday, I got an email from another friend of mine who lives down in Huntsville, Alabama. And he's retired now, but at one time he was the highest-ranking civilian in the Pentagon. And I'm not going to use his name, but the point of the of why I'm mentioning this is because there are some people that I have tremendous amount of respect and affection for. And I sent him a copy of that open letter to my Christian Zionist friend. And before I hit the send button, I have to tell you that I held my breath for a couple of minutes, and I said, Lord, am I doing the right thing here? And I sent it to him anyway, because the last time that I talked to him, which was probably 10 or 12 years ago, we were both, you know, fairly right-wing Christian activist type of folks, you know, who believed that most of the things that I believed when I was working for John Fox. Anyway, I got that response to the email from him, and he just went up one side and down the other and said, Bill, you're absolutely right. You know, I've been carrying this stuff around. I know what's going on. I've known it for, you know, 30 years, but I couldn't talk to anybody about it. and I'm so glad to see. And I think that there's an undercurrent stirring in the ecumenical Christians, even in some of the fundamentalists, Pentecostals. I mean, you name it. People know something's wrong. They may not all agree on what it is, but they know something's radically, radically wrong. And the kind of stuff that they hear from John Hagee is not explaining that away.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the one thing that Lawrence Vance didn't say in his piece today on Ron Paul.
I'm sorry, why, I missed that.
Well, it's at lourockwell.com.
Oh, okay.
And, it's entitled, Will Ron Paul Be the Candidate of the Christian Right? And the basic thesis of Lawrence Vance is that he should be because of his position on all these issues, but he is likely not to be because of all of the wrong things that really characterize the belief system of the leadership of the Christian right that these guys never talk about. And when you mention John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, right, it seems to me that this whole issue of Zionism and the Jewish lobby is front and center, a central core reason, I would argue the core reason, why the Christian right does not want to support a true America First candidate, a true paleocon or libertarian candidate, because these candidates, like Ron Paul, are not in bed with the Israeli lobby and all that that implies. You got a chance, Bill, hang around. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined at a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, by a very interesting young man by the name of Michael Rivero, who has a website entitled whatreallyhappened.com. We've been chatting with Bill Adams of Alaska here in recent minutes. Bill, I wanted to read you something here that's in this piece by Lawrence Vance on Ron Paul. Vance says, as a Christian, I admire Dr. Paul's principled stand on many issues, but I don't believe the leadership of the Christian right will embrace him. I think they love centralization more than federalism. I think they love political power more than liberty. I think they love war more than peace. I think they love politicians more than principles. I think they love faith-based socialism more than the free market. And I think they love the state more than God Almighty. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it?
That to me, see, I wish I could be that eloquent. I mean, he's got a peg.
Yeah, I wish I had said this.
I keep reading these things, and I keep thinking, boy, I wish I could put it that succinctly, you know.
Well, let's plagiarize some stuff, Bill. I want to get you on this coming week, by the way. I know we're going to email on this. If you got, I'd like to bring you on Tuesday for schedule permits. You let me know.
Okay, I sure will. I'll shoot you an email.
Good.
And we'll firm it up there. By the way, before I forget, you know, one of the things that happens when you get older is you start to forget things. I'm glad that you've got Mike on there this morning, because I'll tell you what, I think Mike's website is one of the best on the Internet. I mean, Mike has graciously posted a couple of things that I've written, but he is on my list of favorites on my blog. By the way, let me give it a shameless plug, if you don't mind.
Sure, go right ahead.
The Alaska Intel Report is at alaskaintel.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And I found a better thing than plagiarizing. When I find something that's that good, I just post it on there with full credits on my site and say, you know, folks, I couldn't do any better than this, so here, I think you should read it.
Well, you know, that's, you know, I have been one of the members of the Breaking All the Rules News Columnist Guild in recent years, and I'd like to get you hooked up with that, Bill, depending on whether or not you'd like to have your stuff posted there. But that's what I basically do in 99 cases out of 100 when I'm updating some of their news sites and I'm finding really great stuff like this Vance piece on Ron Paul today. It's posted with one paragraph taken out of the total article, and with complete attribution and with the URL link to the original. And a lot of folks find themselves getting to a site like that and going, hey, this is great. I can be in 8 or 9 or 10 different sites off of this one and find all kinds of interesting things. And that really gets into the power of the Internet, doesn't it? We have an opportunity here to exchange ideas and articles and ideologies in a way that didn't used to be the case.
Absolutely. And as I wrote somewhere, I sit down and I probably go through 100 different blogs and websites and rant pages and all kinds of stuff every day. You know, occasionally you come across those little nuggets of gold that you know, if you really care about truth at all, you've got to pass it on. You've got to post it. And most of the time I'll shoot, you know, an email off if I can and get their permission. But I always give them credit, but it's great to be able to pass it on.
Yeah, and it's great to find out how wrong I have been on so many issues going back to my days as a so-called Kemp Reagan Republican. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back at shortly after 8 o'clock this morning with Michael Rivero of whatreallyhappened.com. Also, we'll look forward to getting Bill Adams on this show this coming week, maybe as soon as Tuesday. Stay tuned.